Imagine spending your entire career striving for excellence, only to discover that something else matters more for success. This was the shocking revelation journalists Katty Kay and Claire Shipman uncovered when investigating confidence. What began as a search for practical advice evolved into a profound discovery. Confidence is the essential bridge between thought and action, and it correlates more strongly with success than competence does. For two accomplished women who had built careers on being good at their jobs, this was a paradigm shift. The confidence gap appears everywhere, from professional basketball courts to the highest levels of government. At Washington Mystics practice, star players admitted struggling with confidence despite their obvious talent. Coach Mike Thibault identified women's tendency to dwell on failure as their biggest psychological impediment. Even Christine Lagarde, head of the International Monetary Fund, and German Chancellor Angela Merkel cope through zealous overpreparation, assuming we don't have the level of expertise to grasp the whole thing. This isn't just anecdotal. Research shows women initiate salary negotiations 4 times less often than men and ask for 30% less when they do. At Hewlett-Packard, women applied for promotions only when meeting 100% of qualifications, while men applied at just 60%. Most dismaying is Berkeley psychologist Cameron Anderson's finding that confidence matters more than competence for achieving status and influence. The genuinely self-assured, not the arrogant or blustering, are those who sway others and achieve their goals. Neuroscientist Adam Capex studies confidence in rats because their unfiltered behaviors reveal genuine certainty levels. His research shows a fundamental truth: confidence emerges through action, not thought alone. This explains why capable young women at a Running Start political workshop hesitated to raise hands about running for office. They had ability, but lacked the self-belief to act. Major General Jessica Wright exemplified true confidence when, despite nervousness, she became the first woman to command an Army combat brigade. Psychology professor Richard Petty explains, "Confidence is the stuff that turns thoughts into action. This creates a cycle where confidence drives action, building more confidence." When Katty learned kiteboarding in her 40s, the confidence gained spread to other areas of her life. Confidence differs from its cousins: self-esteem, optimism, expecting good outcomes, self-compassion, self-kindness, and self-efficacy, belief in task-specific success. These distinctions prove confidence isn't mere positive thinking. It's the bridge between contemplation and action. Research with rhesus monkeys by Steve Suomi reveals how the serotonin transporter gene influences confidence, while Robert Plowman's twin study found confidence is 50% genetic and predicts achievement better than IQ. 3 neurotransmitters are key. Serotonin enables rational decisions, oxytocin promotes social bonds, and dopamine drives exploration. However, epigenetics shows environment can activate or suppress genes, changes that may pass to offspring. When anxious baby monkeys were placed with nurturing mothers, they surpassed naturally confident peers. This supports orchid theory. While most children are resilient like dandelions, some are like orchids, more sensitive but capable of exceptional growth with proper support. Brain plasticity offers hope for building confidence. 8 weeks of meditation can physically alter the brain, reducing fear while strengthening reasoning. While genetics matter, our environment and choices significantly shape confidence development. While genetics influence confidence, socialization shapes it significantly. Girls learn to be compliant rather than assertive, discouraging confidence-building risk-taking. Boys tend to view failure as lack of effort, while girls interpret it as personal inadequacy. Women face a double bind. Displaying confidence often triggers social penalties, with research showing both genders judge confident female leaders more harshly than male counterparts. Women often undermine their confidence by prioritizing likability over respect and being overly sensitive to criticism. Perfectionism holds them back, waiting for complete readiness while men act swiftly. Biology plays a role too. Women's brains show 30% more neural activity, promoting overthinking. Men's higher testosterone levels increase risk-taking and competitiveness, creating a winner effect where success breeds more confidence-boosting testosterone. Failing fast, borrowed from tech culture, provides an effective framework for building female confidence. Rather than avoiding failure, women should actively seek small, manageable setbacks until they become normalized. Start with modest challenges outside your comfort zone, like initiating conversations with strangers or practicing promotion discussions, before tackling bigger risks. For women, risk often means accepting imperfection and embracing visibility. The female brain can undermine confidence through rumination, endlessly cycling through negative scenarios. Neuroscientist Laura Ann Petito overcame this by consciously replacing negative thoughts with 3 daily achievements. Rather than getting trapped in self-judgment, focus on how your actions benefit others. Public speakers gain more confidence when viewing their presentations as supporting their audience rather than showcasing themselves. Women often highlight their flaws while downplaying successes. Though self-deprecation feels safe, it reinforces self-doubt. True confidence comes from sustained effort and mastery, as demonstrated by Naval Academy graduate Michaela Belota, who built strength through persistent pull-up practice. Psychologist Jim Stigler observed that Japanese teaching embraces student struggle as a learning tool, unlike Western approaches that protect students from difficulty. This illustrates how true confidence develops through overcoming challenges, not constant praise. Japanese education intentionally assigns tasks beyond students' current abilities. The authors warn against the self-esteem movement's effects, where excessive praise and participation trophies can breed narcissism. Without experiencing failure, children don't develop essential coping skills. Girls particularly need encouragement to be assertive. Early praise for compliance creates patterns that discourage speaking up, affecting workplace confidence later. In contrast, boys who occasionally challenge rules develop self-advocacy skills that serve them professionally. To address perfectionism in girls, praise judiciously, focus on effort over comparison, demonstrate handling imperfections, use humor with mistakes, and reflect on past victories. These principles extend to women in general. Viewing confidence as a choice enables growth. Encourage women to own their achievements. For example, "Did you hear we won the award? I'm so proud of my team." Genetic testing revealed both authors carry the MET/MET COMT gene variant, making them worriers who excel in routine conditions but struggle with confidence in high-risk situations. They also share a short/long serotonin transporter gene variant linked to situational anxiety. Despite identical genes, their personalities diverge significantly. Catty is decisive and seeks physical risks while avoiding confrontation. Claire excels at difficult negotiations but avoids physical danger. These differences show how experiences shape neural pathways beyond genetics. Authenticity forms the foundation of true confidence. Christine Lagarde demonstrated this when advising a female president to dare the difference, making authenticity her strength rather than conforming to male standards. What began as an examination of the confidence gap revealed a core truth: think less, take action, be authentic. Confidence isn't about eliminating doubt, it's about moving forward despite uncertainty. The path to confidence lies in embracing your authentic self and taking meaningful risks, one brave step at a time.